Welcome to American Reds, Tribal Rant's unofficial podcast for the FX series, The Americans. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
And tonight we're podcasting The Americans, Season 4, Episode 6, The Rat. It aired on April 20th. So why do you think it had that title, The Rat?
I don't know. I thought it was a Sopranos episode there for or something. Yeah, it was, very mafioso-esque.
That was, they're talking about Martha, right?
No, they were talking about the dead rat.
You think they were talking about the rat?
Sure, yeah.
Well, maybe it had the double meaning then. Because
Martha's
I thought
not
that
a rat? Oh, well, yeah, Martha was, yeah. She would be considered a rat.
They found out about Martha.
She would be considered a rat for the FBI, yeah. To the FBI.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
That's all I thought about. I didn't think about the actual rodent.
I thought it was pretty easy.
That's
rat.
Funny.
Rat equals rat.
It didn't dawn on me. That's really weird. Did you like this episode? Did you think it was good?
I did. I did think it was, I thought it was really good. All these episodes are good. These people are great.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to pick one over another one. They keep you in such suspense and stuff. It seemed like in this episode, it was almost like the opposite to me of the last episode when I was looking at the whole picture of it. In this episode, everybody seemed to be striving for their normal, for what they were used to keep things the way they'd always been, to go back to the way things were before, to get like that back
before
in there.
When?
Just before things happen. Whereas last week, it was like the opposite. It was like people were being replaced. Remember how I brought that up last week, how it felt like people were taking other people's places?
I thought this was like a commentary on multitasking. I mean, they've got so much.
Well, they do that all
stuff.
The time.
Yeah, but
I just don't think they show it to us.
The FBI
all the time.
Is after Martha. They're going to need to leave Martha, and she's in a volatile state, and go get the rat in the jar. And then they need to cook some tofu with Paige. I mean, it's.
Well, see, that's kind of part of this, though. It's kind of part of what I was talking about. I'm going to point it out as we go along, and I want you to tell me if you agree with me or if it's something that you're seeing differently, though, okay?
Okay.
We kind of pick up where we left off. Philip and Elizabeth are in bed, and they're sort of pillow talking. And
stress relief.
Sweet talking. Right, they're stress relieving. And immediately, this is the first place that I picked it up, Elizabeth whispers to him that Martha's okay, nothing's changed, nothing's happened.
Yeah, she's reassuring him. She knows that he's really worried about
Martha. Right, right. Even though she distracted him for a moment, she knows that that's really where his mind is at. But this is the first place that I caught that it was like nothing's changed. Everything's going to be as it was. Nothing's happened. Everything's normal. The first thing that we're kind of reassured about that.
Okay.
But Philip asked if she thinks he's being stupid. And she said, no, I think you're just trying to do the right thing. And he's having some major guilt over Martha, don't you think? Is it guilt or is he conflicted? Do you know?
I was thinking conflicted, but then again, it's a complicated issue. I mean, is he that concerned about Martha because he's in love with Martha, or is he that concerned about Martha because he's recently gone to an S class and he's gotten in touch with his feminine side, and now he's really, really, really worried about what happens to other people that they bring into this situation?
Yeah, there was another situation here where I brought up S too. We'll find that in a little bit. Then we see Martha, she's getting ready for work. And this time she's taking her Valium with coffee.
Yeah, and then she pops back a few Valium and throws her gun in her purse. That looks safe, doesn't it?
Yeah, not so much. She has the TV on, and it's an interview, some type of interview show with women who are single.
Linda Silverstein.
Is that who that was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have no idea who it is. But I heard her name mentioned.
Her name being mentioned. Okay, yeah. They're either never married, divorced, or widowed.
Right,
and they're having
yeah.
these interviews with them. I guess that I didn't realize as close as the 80s it was that big of a deal for women to be single. Like, enough of a big deal. I can't imagine them doing TV shows about it today. Like, it's okay to be single.
Yeah, the 80s, when we're watching this and we're watching some of the stuff going on behind the scenes, you don't really remember how archaic it seems to us. You don't think about how archaic that it really seems to us now, looking back.
Right, the ideas and the social morals and that kind of thing don't feel like they've changed so much.
Everything, technology,
yeah.
You know, language, everything.
Yeah.
Attitudes about things.
It almost felt like it was something from the 50s when they were talking about that, though. Because they were talking about, well, I'm a single woman and I feel okay with that. And I thought that was just such an odd thing. I just don't remember it being that way in the 80s. But then again, I did get married at 19, so.
Yes, you did.
That fact may mar my way of thinking.
We got the tax deduction that year, too.
And then we go in the intro and we come back. And Stan and Adderholt are discussing Martha. They're in the mall.
Stan and Adderholt are into it. They've got little stuff on the board, and they've got papers all over their desk, and they're
trying to find out.
Is done now is suspect. You know she had an abortion. Yep. You know what else? It was illegal then.
Okay, but you see, that kind of tells something, I think, in their view, certainly, about her. Because they picture Martha being this super straight-laced person, right? And I think that's one of the reasons Stan was so shocked to find the Kama Sutra book with all the pages marked in it. Because he was kind of scandalized that this was the Martha that he knew, who was prim and proper with her hair pulled up all the time. And then they find out that she got pregnant in high school and had an abortion. And this was back in 64 when having an abortion wasn't even illegal. It wasn't just a, you know, like a shocker thing, but it wasn't even a legal thing. So they know now that Martha can do things.
Martha is willing to break the law.
Break the law. Stan asks if Adderholt finds Martha attractive.
Yeah, I mean.
And he says that he does, that she's sexy in a way, something sexy about her. What do you think about that?
Well, you know he finds her attractive. He's been macking on her since they've been around.
Well, Stan points out that she's not had much of a romantic life, except for that thing with Amador, and which Adderholt points out that he was murdered. So they kind of glance at each other with that. It's kind of interesting conversation. So
well, they're making all kinds of connections that really aren't there. Like later on where Agent Gadd makes the 10-year remark, and it's really only been going on for about 3. You know, she's been seeing Clark for about 3. We'll talk about it when we get to that part.
Philip and William meet, and Philip wants another glander sample. Now, this was another thing, and I know I'm stretching just a little bit with this, but he wants the same thing he got before. Right? It's like everybody wants the same thing that they've had. I even felt like this was stretching a little,
yeah, I
but
think
he's
you're,
there.
You're going out there in deep left center field.
I may be. There's a whole lot more, but he wants the glanders sample. He wants essentially the devil he knows, right?
But William tells him there's no way to do it, but there's a new disease coming in.
Oh, but Philip tells him first about all the stuff that Gabriel told him to lay on William about. You've been here 25 years, William. This is your opportunity to really do something. That's
this is your
make
moment
a difference.
To shine.
Right.
See the ball, William. Catch the ball. Be
and
the
that,
ball.
And that you'll be returned home as a hero. And
William says that in a coffin.
Yeah. But he says there's no more glanders. They're almost done with it. But there's
tularemia.
Yep.
And it's better than glanders.
Is it better or worse?
Well, that's what William's trying to sell him on.
I'm sure you looked it up, right?
I did look up some of it. It's a, it's also called rabbit fever. It comes in different types, and there's only one type that affects humans. And it's named after Tulare County, California. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not.
Hmm.
But this is what the information I got says. But it's, there's no vaccine for the general public. This is the important thing. And, it was, the Soviet Union had an interest in weaponizing it as early as World War II.
Hmm.
Pretty nasty stuff. And it's also an animal disease primarily, but there's different types of this disease, and one type infects humans.
It's caused by the bacterium Francisella tularensis.
That sounds like a Italian rock star or something.
But it's not. Humans can get the disease through a bite. But see, the thing about this is they can get the disease from a bite of an infected tick, housefly, or even a mosquito.
Yeah, something.
So that's a really serious transmission problem. Breathing in infected dirt or even plant material that has been contaminated with the animal. Direct contact, of course, with the animal through a break in the skin. Or even, though it's more rare, through eating infected meat. So, I mean, it would just be a really highly contagious, very easy thing to get. Some people may develop pneumonia after breathing in the infected dirt and stuff. Symptoms appear within 3 to 5 days, and they continue usually for several weeks, and the symptoms are really pretty extreme. I also thought it was funny that the treatment, one of the treatments of tularemia is chloramphenicol.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you found that or not.
I didn't.
Yeah. It's not usually a first choice in it, but it is one of the treatments. That outlook, the prognosis is 5% of untreated cases are usually fatal, and it can have complications of osteomyelitis, which is like a bone infection, pericarditis, which is infection around the sac of the heart, meningitis, and pneumonia. Yeah, that's what I got, is that it's usually called deer fly fever or rabbit fever. And it can also infect birds and domestic animals such as dogs, cats, and even hamsters. So we're talking about something that's really, if it got loose in the population and started spreading, particularly, I mean, if your dog got it and then ticks and bites from whatever, I don't know, you're really talking about maybe an epidemic kind of thing, which I guess is what they were counting on, huh?
Sure, yeah, that's the reason they want to weaponize it.
Right, that's kind of horrifying. You were talking about the relationship.
Yeah, William and Philip are becoming kind of chummy now. Philip's sharing a little more with William.
Right.
Since they've been exposed to each other. And he mentions to William here when he's there in front of the river, and he's asking for the other, you know, the new sample. He told him he's been running an agent for a couple of years. And then later on, of course, he mentions that he's been running her for 3 years.
Right.
So he kind of contradicted himself a little bit. But I guess a couple could be also be three, right?
Yeah, I would think. Well, in the middle of this, they cut to Stan and Adderholt coming out of the vault, and Stan's just looking at Martha at work.
Right.
In the middle of this,
and then
Martha's
looking back over his shoulder.
Right. I was going to ask you, Philip says that he has a feeling like Martha is in danger. This is what he's telling William.
Yeah, that's his est training.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Yeah, if you thought that was more of the est thing. But
he was telling William he wants to get her out. He wants to pull her out of the country.
But his est training then is really beneficial because this stuff's really happening.
Well, yeah, I guess.
No?
I don't know. I mean,
it seems like everybody else wants to leave Martha where she is. And Martha staying where she was is really just it's a ticking time bomb. It's a matter of time.
Oh, yeah.
Before they
No, I agree
do
with that.
Something.
Yeah, they're on to her.
But Philip's feelings can potentially save Martha from that, right? Well, William surmises that the bosses don't want to get her out. And William says that the bosses don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of faith in their senior leadership. I got that, too.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Are they losing trust in them, you think, at this point? Or have they ever had trust?
I don't know if they've ever had trust. But remember, the bosses are so far removed from what's going on. And really, I wouldn't think a very, very low percentage, if any of the bosses have any practical experience in their arena where they've been placed to work.
Philip says here, she trusts me. And earlier he said to Elizabeth, I got her into this, sort of. And we hear this. This is like the recurrent thing with him and this. And that's why I'm not sure. When he says stuff like that, I feel like he feels guilty. But then some of the situations that he's in, and here in just a little bit, I feel like he's conflicted over what he even should or wants to do with Martha. So I wasn't real sure how I felt about it. Well, then we go to the scene where he's actually driving down, where Clark is actually driving down the road and picks Martha up.
Yeah, tells her to get in the car and got to get her off the street. Now, there's something important about this particular scene. And when we get to the scene where he's just picked up the rat in the jar at the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me to go back and tell you what's okay. peculiar about this scene and that scene.
Okay. Well, Clark takes Martha to a house. At first, I thought he had taken her to Gabriel's, but it wasn't, right?
No, it was another safe house.
It's just a house. She wants to know if somebody lives there, but he says no, and she's scared to death, right? She starts to freak out. He keeps promising her that everything is going to be all right, and he hugs her, and we see his face, and you can tell he's just horrified. He doesn't believe the stuff he's saying.
No, because she thinks they're going to be together, and they're not.
Yeah, but we haven't even gotten to that part yet. This is even before that. He's just worried that Martha's not going to be okay, I think, at this point. But then Gabriel comes in. Philip has called Gabriel.
And Gabriel tries to be as friendly as Gabriel can.
Yeah.
The specter of death being friendly.
But Philip sends Martha to the kitchen to make tea because he wants to talk to Gabriel. Now, here's another thing, the normalcy, right? You know how you want to do, like, normal things, kind of, or your body just kind of does them? She goes into the kitchen and actually gets the kettle and starts to make tea.
Right.
I mean, she is, like, she's been picked up off the street by the guy who is not her real husband, who she thinks is her husband. In all this situation, she's terrified, and he says, go make tea, and it's like she automatically does this normal thing.
Well, isn't that what we always do, though? We try to calm people down by ordinary tasks and...
Right. Well, sure. Well, yeah. And I think we almost automatically do it. Something happens and people put on a pot of coffee. They go about
right.
their normal thing. But right here, Gabriel, man, he just starts chewing Philip up one side and down the other. And Philip takes it for just a minute and then he just lashes back at him, but Gabriel wants to send Martha back to work tomorrow.
He wants to go back.
He wants it to be normal.
Just to be normal.
Right.
And that's kind of...
it's another
but
situation.
But he doesn't have all the information Philip has, though.
That's actually true.
So he's real quick. See, he thinks Philip's being impetuous. He thinks Philip's being just really knee-jerk in his reaction to get Martha out. And in reality, Philip's on the ground, and he knows the situation on the ground, and he knows that they don't have really a lot of time, that it's imminent, that she's going to get, you know, at least questioned where she can't, you know, maneuver her way out of it.
Yeah.
So Philip rightly wants to get her out. And Gabriel, well, the one thing he didn't know was that Philip had shown himself to her.
I don't think... I realize, and I made a note of this later on in this, but I don't think I realized that was that big of a deal. But this
think
is,
about a composite photo.
No, I completely get it. I get it now that I've watched this episode. But I just don't think that I understood at the time that Clark revealed himself as Philip when he took off the disguise. I don't think I realized the magnitude of that simple act. It felt at the time to me when it happened a couple of episodes ago that it was almost more like an intimate act. Like he was letting her get closer to him and let her in. But it really had real significant meaning, right?
Oh, yeah. Philip was pretty adamant with Gabriel at the end of their discussion. Martha is done.
Yeah.
Martha is done.
And then he walks in the other room and starts taking off his disguise again.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
But do you know why it's so important in those composite pictures? What do you think? What do you think the significance
because
of a disguise?
Because they can all be linked to the same person.
Okay, but think about the composite of a person in a disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about how vague a composite is anyway.
Right.
So to get an accurate composite of an accurate person, even that is kind of subjective, you know. Like, you know, when you're looking at the person that they're drawing the picture, it doesn't look a lot alike. So a slight disguise being seen by somebody somebody's describing somebody they've seen wearing a slight disguise is going to be virtually impossible to identify from a composite.
Right. Well, then we go to the next scene where the TV is on, but Martha's just staring out into space, drinking wine. Philip and Gabriel are cooking, in a cast iron skillet.
And they're not having fun
in the kitchen. No. No, but they did look very skilled. Gabriel looked very skilled at what he was doing. Elizabeth, disguised as Jennifer, comes in and tells Martha that she brought her some things, clothes and toothbrush. And did you notice they kind of showed Philip's face when you heard Elizabeth come in? And he was not comfortable.
No, he's very uncomfortable.
With Elizabeth having this
interaction.
Contact.
Yeah, well, he wasn't. I don't think he was comfortable in the same house with Martha and Elizabeth.
So what's going on? Why? What's that all about?
Maybe it's just evidence that he's not just worried about her from a I don't want this person to get hurt position, but he's actually has emotional feelings for her. And it's
I think we know he does. I think
yeah,
we
but
know
that's what
he
makes
does.
It awkward between
but I'm wondering,
him and Elizabeth in the same room.
But I'm wondering how deep this goes. Does it go deeper than even we realize? Because I don't know. Elizabeth says it's going to be all right. We're all here for you. Martha is really shocked when Jennifer comes in. And she says, you're a part of all this. And she's a little angry over stuff, it seems like, too. Didn't you kind of get that?
Martha's flipping out. She's just, Martha is really, really upset.
Well, Elizabeth's trying to kind of change the subject, and she said, ooh, something smells good. She's trying to keep everything
right.
Lighthearted. Gabriel's a fabulous cook. I'm going to go check on the boys. Let me get you some more wine and blah, blah. So she walks in the kitchen, and she, as soon as she walks in, she sees Philip. She doesn't see Clark.
Out of disguise. And
she is stunned.
Shocked.
She is horrified.
She is shocked and stunned and deeply saddened.
And he tells her that she's already seen him. She was falling apart. He had to. And Elizabeth, like, looks at Gabriel. And Gabriel's just sitting there like, I can't help you.
But then she asks the money question.
When?
Well, not just, and then the other question.
And he says 3 weeks ago. Right. And then she asked him if he wanted her to see him.
This is the important question in Elizabeth's mind.
And he said he didn't know what else to do, but he doesn't know. And this hurts her feelings. Can you tell this hurts Elizabeth's feelings?
Yeah, yeah.
She's stunned about it. Now, I would think that this would be worse for Martha than it is for Elizabeth. Because I would think that once Martha saw him, that if anything happened, they would have to kill her.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. That's what all the angst is about. Because there's no other way than to kill her or get her out of the country. No other way. Now.
Right. Well, Elizabeth goes to pour them wine, and she pours herself a nice little glass of wine and knocks it back, too, and tells Philip that he should have told her that he was bringing Martha in. So he didn't even tell her.
Mm-mm.
He just went kind of out of the blue, right, and did this. And Philip says, well, I just couldn't let her, you know, and kind of drags off. And Elizabeth looks at Gabriel again like,
what's going on?
Are you going to be able to handle this, Gabriel, or what? So Elizabeth says it's her shift, so Philip should get home. And Philip says he thinks it's better if he stays.
I think it's better if I stay. And that kind of upsets her. It kind of cuts her just a little bit deeper.
Yes.
And then she just says, see, now you know it's more than just a mission. Now we know that it's,
well, we've always known.
Yeah, but now
that it's
she
more
knows.
Than a mission.
Now she knows.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, now she might know. But doesn't it just make sense? Because why would Martha be okay with Clark leaving at this point? It makes more sense to keep Martha calm and everything to have Clark there than it does to have
right.
Jennifer.
But they're not thinking about that. The only person who's thinking about that is the person who's aware of what's going on between them.
But Philip won't even make eye contact with Elizabeth at this
Elizabeth,
point.
Well, you know, Gabriel leaves the room because he doesn't want to be involved.
Right.
And then Elizabeth says, okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, she just...
Tell her I'll see her tomorrow.
She just leaves. And Philip, they show him standing there, and he's looking... I couldn't discern his look. I put confused, caught, guilty. I couldn't discern exactly what he was. The look on his face, he was kind of, you know, hunched over. And
it looked a lot like the same look that he had when Elizabeth found out he was going to Est. Remember? Or he went back to Est.
Well, that was more sheepish a little bit to me, I thought. But, yeah, it
was the same
kind of...
Well, this is a little, oh boy, now I've got to explain this kind of look.
But this seems like it's just a huge betrayal, not only to the cause and what they're doing, but also
to Elizabeth.
Personally to Gabriel and Elizabeth, what he's done here with Martha, this whole thing. So then we immediately go into the scene where Elizabeth's talking to Paige and making the sundubu jjigae.
Yeah, fancy Korean dish.
Yeah, we remember
the
that from last week's spicy tofu kimchi soup, and talking about our Korean work friend.
You have to say it like my Uncle Johnny, who was in the Korean War.
Korean. Paige isn't overly fond of the rubbery chicken tofu, and she also is mistrustful of her mom and her Korean friend, too.
Paige is mistrustful. Paige doesn't trust Henry.
Well, then Paige wants to write a paper on the computer, but they can't print it because they don't have a printer at home, and Elizabeth says they can print it at the office. And Henry is just talking about Epcot.
And playing video games.
And he's saying, "Don't, Epcot, Mom, don't kill the dream." You know,
did you notice the wired remote that he had?
No, but I'm absolutely. Yeah. He's lucky to have that. Elizabeth's laughing and joking around with him, and then Henry says, "Wait, where's Dad?" And Paige looks at Elizabeth, and she says, "He's working." And then she turns around. Now here, this was my other normal thing. She was struggling for normalcy here, completely trying to make things normal at home. It was even like over the top for her because she's not like the most bouncy, happy, talkative person at home as a general rule. But here she was going out of her way. Oh, we can do this. Let's do this. Here, I home cook this big, pretty complex looking meal here for you. And as soon as she turns around, her face just completely changed into the stress that she is dealing with. I mean, everything, the betrayal, the hurt, everything she's feeling, the worry over Philip and Mark, but she's trying to be normal. She's trying to keep things normal at home. Well, Philip comes into Martha's room, and she says there's only one change of clothes in the bag, but he's telling her that it won't be long, and then Martha says, "Where will they go? Where will we go?"
Right.
And he pauses
for
a minute.
Yeah, Martha doesn't realize that Philip's not going anywhere.
And I made a note, does he know that he's about to destroy her with what he's doing to her one way or another, either way? Well, he says she'll have to trust him, but Martha says that Jennifer isn't your sister, is she? And
yeah, Martha's over there connecting dots.
Picked
that,
it up.
That volume hasn't clouded her brain too bad yet.
Nope. And she asks if he's involved with Jennifer, and he won't answer directly, but he looks really uncomfortable and says they've worked together for a long time. And then she says, "For who?"
And that's the part that's just bigger than the disguise coming off.
Yep.
When he tells her the KGB.
And she look, her knees kind of buckle a little bit, and then she's like, she gasps, and she's teary, and she turns, and it's just really a... almost like a physical blow to Martha. There's no, it's just like you said.
Oh, she was hyperventilating.
Yeah, there's no going back. There's no going back from that. Philip goes to tell her that she doesn't have to do anything again, ever. Just breathe and, you know, keeps on. Everything's going to be okay. And he kind of tells her, he says, "Look, you told me you needed to know everything. You told me." You know, so that's why he's telling her why he's telling her, I think. Plus, I mean, I guess she's going to figure it out if they send her back. Or not back, but send her to Moscow. And he says if there was any other way, he'd do it. And then she gets like this resolve. Martha, who has carried the world on her shoulders, we've just found out, since she was a kid, you know, right out of high school and gotten pregnant. And the guy dumped her and she had an abortion. And just, you know, she's never really connected with a guy. And now she's connected with him. There's never really been a lot of other love interest. Now there is with him. And she just kind of squares her shoulders and takes a deep breath and says, "I don't care as long as we're together. It just doesn't matter." And then she pulls an Elizabeth, which is what that move is going to forever be known as. She hikes up her skirt.
It's time for some stress relief.
And this is another place she's trying to make things normal. She's, you know, trying to capture some of the normalcy of what they've had together. I'm screaming in my head at this point that he needs to tell her. He needs to tell her.
No, not right there. He doesn't need to tell her. No. No, she's just now getting herself back to even. They need to tell her when they need to tell her.
They what? When they put her on a bus or a plane or a cargo ship?
Oh, wait
or
a minute, Martha. I'll be right back. I forgot my bag. Bon voyage. They've got to. You don't understand. They've got to keep her calm.
I guess, but I mean, it just feels like such now a betrayal to Martha.
She's about to hyperventilate just getting this information.
Well,
about
it's, and it's big information.
Sure. So what's she going to do the moment he tells her
that
the only person that you've got in this world is not going you to your new home in sunny, snowy Moscow?
But he doesn't tell her he's not. He tells her he is. He nods at her. She's willing to run away with him far away where no one can ever find them. And did you notice that Philip nods? He's playing along with it.
And how about that Philip, too? It's not been long since he was doing a little stress management at home, and now, I mean, Philip is a machine.
This is a little too stressful sex for me. They can have this. And then we go to Gabriel, who's sitting in the other room hearing it.
Oh, I know. He's sitting there.
He is salty.
That's so funny. Gabriel's sitting there having to hear this crap through the wall. Oh, he's got to be wondering, how did I get here? I want to go back to Stalingrad.
Well, Stan comes in and asks where Martha is the next day, and they find out she's called in sick. So he gets Adderholt to call her at home. There's no answer. And they just immediately both get up and head out of the office.
Yeah, but here's your theme coming true.
Okay.
She just verbalizes it the next scene with Philip. She just wants to go back to the way things were.
Oh, I know. We see this again and again and again. And I mean, I couldn't believe how many times I found that in this episode.
And then she
Martha's having coffee or tea or whatever, and she's asking Clark what happens next. And Clark's saying they'll find a place. It won't be easy, but it's going to work out. And then Martha brings up Hans and says, what if he was mistaken, sort of, right? That's what she was saying. What if it wasn't as bad as what you're making it sound like it is. If he was wrong, they could go back to the way things were. It's like this, it was the most pitiful, desperate desire. That's what got me actually looking for it. And I went back and because I thought, oh, I've seen that before in this, but this was like the deepest, pitiful desire to just be normal, just to have
just
this
go back
off
to
of
yesterday,
her.
Yeah. She says, I'm never going home, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And he nods or shakes his head no.
And he looks really sad about it, for whatever that means.
How about Stan and Adderholt showing up at Martha's apartment with their FBI trench coats? We're talking about, you know, how the 80s looked like the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, was that not the stereotypical G-men showing up with their hands in their pocket,
that.
Just looking around, you know, all solemn and quiet? And
but, you know, he didn't spend a lot of time in there, Stan didn't. It's like he went in her bedroom, checked that the Kama Sutra book was still in the drawer, and they left. I mean, that was like all Stan was concerned about. Or so, no, really, he walked in the bedroom, he opened and closed a couple drawers, and they left. That was the end. They kind of glanced around, and they were out of there. That was kind of... But I'm assuming that he noticed her gun was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, he did notice.
But he didn't look,
gone.
Like, for anything else. I mean, no pictures, no photographs, no anything.
Well, don't
that would
worry.
Make you think
they'll send a group back there.
Well, Gabriel comes back into the safe house and asks where Martha is, and she's resting. And this is where Gabriel says, we've had an emergency signal from William, and that Philip needs to go.
Bad timing here.
Yeah, really. But they always have the worst timing. Do they ever have good timing? Does anything ever happen?
No, the Russian spies seem to have the worst timing of any group that I'm aware of.
But Philip's almost like, I'm not going to do this. Forget this, Gabriel. This is not going to happen right now. What I'm dealing with right here is more important. But Gabriel has a good point. He says, we don't have Martha anymore on the surveillance. We don't know how we're going to be able to get in contact with William, surveillance free.
Yeah, we've got to get this done
right
now. Yeah,
this has got to happen.
We're going to get it done.
So Philip goes to tell Martha that he's leaving, but she's asleep.
She's sedated.
Yeah. And you know, at this point, I didn't trust this. I got to tell you. My thought went to, after all the turmoil last night and how salty Gabriel looked and everything, after finding out that she had seen Philip, I thought they were going to get rid of Philip and then get rid of Martha. That's what I thought they were going to do right there. Just get Philip out of the house. You got to go.
Oh, wow.
And handle Martha, but...
You really are a conspiracy theorist.
I was upset about it. I thought that's how it was going to go, but we see that it didn't. But he kind of tries to gently wake her, but he can't. And he gets in her purse, and he's looking at the pills, I think, to make sure she hasn't overtaken the Valium.
Probably, yeah.
And she's asleep. But he sees the gun, and he takes it out, and he just looks tortured.
I thought for a minute he was going to shoot her with it.
With her own gun?
Yeah.
He turned
around and looked at her. I thought, you know what he's thinking? I can handle all this right now. She's asleep.
No, Philip ain't going to do that. But the scene, it showed Philip, he's standing in front of the window, and it's backlit, and he's got this gun in his hand, and it's shot from an angle where you can see nothing but Martha's legs kind of bent on the bed, where she's laying on the bed, and it was just such a crazy... telling scene about just about everything that's going on in this episode. She's there, she's laying down, she's actually asleep, but she's vulnerable, and here Philip is with this weapon in his hand, and it's her weapon, and I don't know, something about that really got me, but he tucks the gun in his back waistband, and he walks out. Then we find out that Mr. Clark Westerfeld is the man that Stan and Adderholt are looking for.
They go to his apartment.
Right. They're showing the landlord a composite drawing, but he says it doesn't really look like the guy he knows.
Right. Exactly.
And now they're all gloved up, but there's like nothing personal in this apartment at all.
No.
Nothing.
No, remember he took the photo when he left. And
yeah, but the one photo was like one photo and answer machine tape.
That's all he had.
Then we go to Oleg telling Tatiana that his mom is in bed and won't even come to the phone when he calls. And Tatiana tells him, have patience. She's telling him, it's another thing. Things are going to get back to normal. I know you want your normal, Oleg. You want your normal with your mom answering the phone and being okay. Things are going to get back there. And then Oleg says he wonders if he should even be here.
Yeah, in the United States working is what he means.
Right. And Tatiana touches him on the shoulder, and as soon as that happens, Arkady walks in and looks at him very sternly. And Tatiana, like, squares her shoulders and walks away like she shouldn't have been. And it kind of makes you wonder if you worry that Arkady's going to start thinking that Oleg's going to have an affair with every woman in the office or something.
Maybe.
But he's very stern, and he looks like he thinks he might have caught them being a little intimate or something, but he just gave the slightest pause with it, kind of like, you know, a little tiny raised eyebrow, like, I don't know. And then he says that they may need to exfiltrate a secretary here in D.C., and they ask Arkady if they're looking for her, and he says, you're going to have to presume they are, and they said then all the transportation ports will be covered, the buses. And Tatiana wants to know how much time they have, and Arkady says they're waiting on them right now. So, I mean, this is like an emergency. That's why they're showing us this, right? This is like now, and they're going to take her to Moscow. And we didn't know that until this part.
No, I know, and Martha damn sure doesn't know that.
And then they ask Arkady what she did, and he didn't answer them.
Right.
So
I thought that was a funny question.
What did she do?
What's she been doing? Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's just...
That was Tatiana asking,
yeah,
though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's just a nosy spy there. You know, they just...
Oh, I would definitely ask. Well, then Agent Brooks, I think that's his name, the guy that's in the office with Stan and Adderholt, is saying that they've got some prints, and they're trying to run the prints from Westerfeld's apartment, Clark Westerfeld's apartment. And there's two Clark Westerfelds that have come up, an 85-year-old retired gun salesman living in a retirement community in Idaho, and a 35-year-old attorney
in Atlanta.
And Adderholt says, well, that's less than a two-hour flight.
Yeah,
so,
you could be up here every weekend.
Yeah, a couple nights a week, even. Stan says to have the Atlanta field office check out the lawyer. And they don't know yet if the guy's married and had kids. They don't know anything except just the names and the ages. But then Stan brings up that they need to check on death certificates, too.
Do you remember what Stan said? What
did he say?
Send a teletype.
Oh, did he say teletype?
He said, send a teletype. To teletype it to all the field offices, whatever the information they had was, the information they were talking about. Send a teletype to all the field offices requesting death certificates from all the county courthouses. Send a teletype. Teletype.
I don't know what a teletype is.
A teletype is like pre-fax. Teletype is like pre, you know, internet, all that stuff. But that was another glaring example of how, you know,
far we've come.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the teletype was dying in the 80s. The teletype was coming to an end because that's when, of course, you know, we were developing fax machines. Remember those really rudimentary drum-type fax machines?
Yeah, but I don't remember the years.
Well, the teletype was a way that they conveyed information on a mass scale back then. And you had a teletype machine, and it would, you know, be humming in the background, you know, just spitting out paper, you know, while this thing's typing. Yeah.
I didn't even catch that. That's a pretty good catch.
Teletype. And they pretty much died in the 80s. That was the end of them. And they started, I mean, you know, it started, I mean, you can trace them back to like the 1800s with Morse, you know, when they started the Morse code.
Really?
Yeah, that's the same, well, it was the same basic thing.
Well, now we could just see who they're friends with on Facebook and check it out from there.
Yeah, and friend their friends and then friend them in the end and say, hey, let's hook up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Russian spies.
But they walk out and Stan says that Martha said her boyfriend is a businessman, right? And then he looks at Adderholt and he says, is a lawyer a businessman? And they kind of stand there for a minute and I think they're thinking, no, that a lawyer, you don't think of a lawyer as a businessman.
Yeah, but you know, that could have just been
her covering up misspeaking or anything,
or just, yeah.
Or her just not wanting to tell him what her
boyfriend did. These guys are a little too overly suspicious.
But then, they are, but they're right on, though.
They're on it, but I mean, they're questioning everything from, you know, is a lawyer a businessman?
But they're lucking into it, but I think that's what made them say, this has to go to Gad. And they see Gad walk out. They think that it's went so far now that they got to let Gad know. So they see Gad walk out.
And he sees it perfectly when they point it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Martha's bad, is what he says.
Yeah. Yeah, he thinks Martha's bad. They kind of tell him everything that she's called in sick and they went to her house. And
Gad is just floored. So she's worked here 10 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, over 10 years. And at this point, I couldn't tell if he was going to go, you guys are nuts. Why are you wasting my time? I really couldn't tell if he was going to do that at this point because he was like looking at him and you know that look that he has on his face, right?
Yeah, but in his mind, when he says that, she's been here over 10 years, he is assuming, as all of them are now, because they don't know she just started this 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
He's assuming that the whole 10 years, and maybe even before, she's been bad.
Right, right, right. Kind of like Elizabeth and Philip are implanted, maybe like
moles, yeah.
Right, as far back as they were. Well, then we go to a commercial, and on this commercial, it was a commercial for Airbnb. I know we talked about that recently. Do you think if we took a trip to Korea, we might be able to stay with, like, Younghee's, like a family like that, and make sundubu jjigae?
You can forget it.
Oh, I was saying. Yeah, it looks like it might be a fun thing to do. They certainly make it look fun on the commercial. I don't know if it's always that fun, but...
Yeah.
So we come back, and, okay, this is where... I guess this is why it took Philip so long, why he had to be gone from the safe house for so long, because this is an elaborate process that they've got set up for him to collect that rodent.
Yeah.
We got Hans up on the top of something.
Well, they just have to be careful because they are flying blind. They don't have any idea about surveillance.
Right, right. Well, Hans is surveilling. If anybody is surveilling, he's going to try to catch him. Elizabeth is out in a bus stop.
Well, they've got her in a scraggly-looking disguise, don't
it's
they?
It's my hair. She's got my humid hair.
No.
Yes, she does. That's actually
Michelle,
what I noted.
That's what I noted.
Elizabeth
you're
has
painting
my
a poor,
hair.
Poor picture. No, no.
Elizabeth has my Florida humid hair.
She does
hair.
Not. My wife has lost her mind. She looks nothing like that hair. Nothing. Zero.
I actually noticed that.
Zero
similarity.
Zero.
And Philip pulls up, but this is pretty elaborate. They're all in disguise, and
William's not. He's got his stupid little hat on with his...
Well, William's never in disguise. Yeah. But who did Hans have to kill to be able to get up on this platform at this boating company? You know, I mean, you can't...
It's just a remote area of a shipyard. I don't think he had to kill anybody.
Well, I mean, I was saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek. But what I mean is, most places you can't just go and climb up and stand up places with binoculars, just get in. I don't know. I just thought it was odd that he was able to do that. Meanwhile, we see Stan pacing the office. I mean, you know, they're cutting back to that. But William comes up to Philip. Now, what do you think about Philip's new disguise? I haven't seen this one before.
No,
when
I mean,
he went up
just,
to William.
You know, just a disguise.
The hair. And this is where William gives him the dead rat, which is probably, like you said, the title of this episode, although all I could think of was Martha was the rat.
No, I think that's great.
And that's the best way he could get the tularemia.
Right, from a tissue sample. He wants,
right.
Yeah, they should lift it from a tissue
right,
sample.
Right, because he couldn't get, like, an actual sample. But that was kind of horrifying, wasn't it? The little dead rat stuffed in a jar.
A little gross, not very horrifying. And William asks about Martha.
He does. And Philip says they're getting her out. And then we find out a little bit about William here, don't we?
Yep.
Because he says that they sent his wife, Eliza, back, and he stayed quiet. So, Eliza, we're assuming, back in Moscow or wherever she came from.
Yep. And
she
he's
was
just
sent
there
back
solo.
Home, and he wanted to say something, but he didn't. So, that was a little bit sad. They were separated for the good of the cause, I guess.
Yeah, he's kind of rooting for Philip here, you can tell.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he understands Philip wanting to get Martha out, but Philip also has Elizabeth, so Phil, I don't know. Well, Gabriel's taking a pill, and Martha wakes up, and she starts
Before that, when Philip leaves the shipyard,
mm-hmm.
he's driving a Ford Granada, a 70, mid-70s Ford Granada. And it is one of the worst cars Ford ever produced, the Ford Granada. But the interesting thing about this Ford Granada in this scene is that when it pulls out, it cuts in front of a powder blue 1967 four-door Chevelle. Now, what's significant about this Chevelle, you may be asking yourself?
I'll ask you.
Philip picked Martha up on the side of the road and told her to get in the car. And he actually, that's when he was pulling her out.
Mm-hmm.
This was the car they were driving by.
They were talking about how difficult it is to have the cars for this time period. Because we as a society don't have a lot of cars from the 80s.
They were crap. None of them lasted.
You can get tons of cars from the 50s. You can even get tons of cars like from societies who have them restored and stuff from the 30s or 40s. The 50s, fine. 60s, fine. But starting like in the 70s, it's harder and harder to get the classic cars. But the 80s hasn't been long enough that people have like restored these cars to that point. And so, to get these cars, they said it's a real difficult challenge to get the cars running and working and looking like the time period that haven't been altered.
They should be using more 70s cars, more of the mid to late 70s cars, and there's not a lot of those either. That was a terrible time for automobile manufacturing in this country. It's not just there's not a lot available, it's that most of them are crap cars.
Well, maybe that was part of it, too. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the story that I heard.
It just didn't last. This powder blue... Look, if you're going to overuse a prop, use something that's not as conspicuous as a 67 Chevelle. Because a 67 Chevelle is a pretty recognizable, you know, classic car. And they parked this thing right on the corner. And they drove... I think they've got, like, multiple Granadas, too. I think I've seen more than one Granada that they've been using.
Well, Gabriel's taking a pill and Martha wakes up asking where Clark is. And Gabriel's saying that he'll be back shortly. and he offers to make her an omelet, and she just completely snubs Gabriel.
Oh, she ain't having none of Gabriel. And then the final straw is coming up.
Stan walks into Gad's room, and Gad's saying that Martha was there when he took his position. He could have had his old secretary and all that kind of stuff, but he didn't want to kick her out of that position. And this is where Stan does it. Stan says, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe she could have just taken a sick day. And there's a legitimate Clark Westerfeld. See, even Stan
wants to go back to yesterday.
Right. And even though he knows better than that at this point.
Yeah, the acceptance of reality here is pretty much biting everybody.
Yeah. But Gad's kind of kicking himself at this point. He said he can't believe he didn't suspect Martha.
Oh, he's just beside himself with regret.
Yeah, she's the one who had the most access to his office to put the pen in there. And then they even bring up Jean. They think she might be working with Jean, or maybe they had Jean killed to protect Martha or something like that.
Yeah, he nails it right on the head. That's exactly what they did.
Right. Well, Martha's getting dressed, and she looks for a gun in her purse, and she realizes it's gone.
That's
it.
That's
frantic.
That's the straw.
She's
that's
frantic.
What did it. Martha.
Out the door.
They took her gun. Now she's exposed. She has no self-protection, and Clark is not there. So she is, and who did it? Who took her gun? She doesn't know Clark come and got it.
Well, I think she...
Or Philip, rather.
I think she was going to leave before that, but I think that's the part that just really freaked her out.
Oh, that, yeah. That,
I think she
that
had decided
her
before
edge.
That to leave. But Gabriel walks outside and asks her to come back in. He's really nice and he's really calm, and man, she is just
not
having it.
So you can
he's
trust
telling
her
we're working hard to keep you safe. You know, I know he wants to say, do not understand what we're all putting ourselves through and how much easier it would be to take the shortcut to this, Martha, but we're not, kind of. And Martha tells him, she goes, stay away from me or I'll scream and everyone will know
that you're KGB. Yep, and that's, she just signed her death warrant
that
right there.
That was bad.
Do you think? Oh,
she
yeah, without a doubt.
But Gabriel looks down, he looks defeated, he looks distraught as Martha walks away.
He looks frustrated. He doesn't look defeated. He is Russian spy, KGB handler, frustrated.
He's frustrated, but he also looks, by defeated, I mean, kind of like what you said, Martha, you've kind of brought this on yourself, and I can't help you anymore. That's kind of the look I saw. Well, next week, it looks like it's going to be all about Martha. Philip and Elizabeth find out she's gone. Elizabeth's pointing out that Martha has seen Philip's face. Gad mentions that this isn't a boyfriend situation. Something about he married her. So they found out something about Martha and getting married, it looks like, maybe.
Yeah, well, remember, they're checking the courthouses for death certificates, so it's natural.
Oh,
they're,
yeah,
they're gonna
good.
Come up with
yeah.
A, they're going to come up with
yeah.
a marriage certificate.
Okay, really good. It looks like she may be on the phone talking to the FBI, Martha, saying she wants it to stop. She wants
I
it to end.
I thought that, too, but they made
the
it look like
it.
That because then they showed all the FBI agents around the table leaning toward the thing in the middle. But guess who I think she's talking to?
Philip.
No.
Gabriel.
The controller. Remember? The person who answers the phone because that's the number she has memorized.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, and she's on a payphone.
Yeah, I think she calls them.
I just want you to know, Mike, that if something happens to your girlfriend and it looks like it might, I'll be here for you.
Well, that means a lot to me.
Okay, I just wanted you to know that right here.
I'm still, you know, if we could just go back.
And be normal.
And just go back.
Just
and
go back.
Everything will be okay.
Hey, I understand this. I want to go back, too. I want them to go back. I want Martha to be sitting at the desk again, and I want to have the normalcy of it.
I don't want Martha to be taken out of this show. I want her to be in the show.
I do, too.
I don't. I mean, she's
I do,
favorite.
Too, but it doesn't look good.
No, it's not looking great for Allison's character.
We hope you'll connect with us here at Tribal Rant and become part of our American Reds podcast. So, Mike, how do people tweet you if they have questions or comments about our new podcast, American Reds?
You may tweet me at Mike from TN.
And I'm at Michelle from TN. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tribal Rant. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so you can subscribe to us there. Please like us and rate us if you like what we're doing. And, of course, all this information is on TribalRant.com, where you can email us or leave us a message, and we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, we just started back with our Fear the Walking Dead podcast. Only 2 episodes in so far, so plenty of time to catch up if you like that. And it's here on TribalRant.com. It's called Fear the Walking Prequel. Also, we have a Survivor podcast that we do every week. It's getting closer to the end, probably just a few more weeks of that left. So if you guys like Survivor, check out our podcast, The Tribe Has Spoken, here on TribalRant.com. If you can't get enough of the Americans, we can't blame you. Our friends Mike and Jamie over at West Coast Project do a The Americans podcast that is, like everything else over there, really good. So if you still want more and want to hear different views, check them out. It's at westcoastproject.com. So do you have anything else about episode 6?
I have nothing else.
Then we'll see you back next week for episode 7. It's called Travel Agents.
Travel Agents.
We'll see you then.
See you then.